Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love. This is Saturday, March 23rd, 2013. Today we've got an interesting show. We're going to have a little bit of a clip from Andrew Bartzis that we had him on the show here this last time, and I was on his show this last week with Gordon Giannonato, who we're going to have on the later part of this show. We're going to have Gordon on live here in about a half an hour. Andrew has two internet radio shows. One is Revolution Radio, and the other is Wolf Spirit Radio. And if you Google, if you would Google Andrew Bartzis YouTube, put those words, then you'll get Andrew's show shows from Revolution Radio that have been posted on YouTube. So this week's show on Cosmic Love, I'll be interviewing Gordon, who here in about a half an hour, who recently addressed about 5 million listeners via Coast to Coast AM. And Gordon will follow this clip I'm going to be playing with Andrew Bartzis regarding Gordon's own cosmic perspective on equinox energies at this time. Gordon Giannonato lives on a mountaintop on the coast of Maine with his blueberry farm and his beehives. He's a ham radio operator and an attorney who graduated at the top of his law school. I mean, he's also been in contact with ETs for many years, and he's been on more than 700 radio shows worldwide explaining the Zeta's perspective on coming Earth changes. Gordon is one interesting character, and I really look forward to going over this information that we'll be playing from Andrew, this excerpt from the show that Gordon and I did with Andrew here just a few days ago on the solstice, March 20th, and this was on Andrew's radio talk show. So we're going to do that clip now. It's about half an hour, and you'll get a sense of who Andrew is and what he does. If you didn't hear him last show, or if you haven't gone to his radio shows before, so Doug, at the studio, I'm going to have you roll that clip, and I'll be back in here in about a half an hour. The first half hour is going to be this conversation now with Andrew, and I'm like Gordon. It occurred to me that knowing Andrew's gifts and talents, knowing them intuitively, having worked with many people like Andrew on Cosmic Love, who have extraordinary gifts and talents, and some of them in the most bizarre ways that you can imagine. Of course, that's what Cosmic Love is all about. We've all got these gifts and talents. And I recognize Andrew has extraordinary gift and talent that I can ask him, just like Gordon was talking about, I can ask him about anything about cosmic law, and he can access those records in a way that is extremely unique and valuable for anyone that's really serious about conscious evolution. And personally, I can't think of anything better to do. So I was going to ask you, Andrew, and this is the kind of questions I'd really like to know, that I reference this, the spring equinox shift report that I referenced earlier, I've referenced that my concern is, and my interest is, and my question is, at this time, we're talking about spring equinox 2013, in the larger scheme of things, as far as the cosmic cycles Earth is going through right now with galactic alignment, you know, the 25,800-year precession of the equinox. Our solar system is crossing the ecliptic of the galactic plane, and we're amidst in alignment with, what do they say, 300 billion suns in our galaxy, what is the correct number there?
It's not one galaxy, it's three galaxies we're coming into alignment, three central suns, one central
that's
sun.
Another, that, that's an, yeah. Oh, that, and the one central sun is ours?
Yep. Well, technically, we're not in the Milky Way. We're in between it. We're in that quasi-in-between zone where the very edges of three different galaxies are intermingling. And it's unable for us to see it in the position that we're in because literally, if you have three circles interacting, the very edge of that circle is a little half-moon shape. We're in the center, and we get stuck in an orbit where we can never get out of that center because our moon is acting as an anchor, locking us here in the galactic ascension machine that's our solar system.
This is my point, that the energetics right now are very unique and they're surging. And there's a surge in the energetics of the Earth from this perspective. And that surge is accelerating, some call it spontaneous evolution, of our DNA as a tuning fork for the energies not only of our physical bodies, but the energies of the universe, like they used to think 90% of the brain was junk DNA. They're finding out, you know, that it's not junk. It's just unused and it's waking up. It's being spontaneous evolution. It's like a tuning fork for the energies of the galaxy or these three galaxies, and the surge that's going on with this, with these energetics. Some people refer to it as the thinning of the veil, and this is my question along the lines that I have for this time, and we're talking about, you know, spring equinox today. There's the light and dark as the Earth's axis aligns in the North Hemisphere and the Southern Hemisphere are getting equal amounts of light, on its axis, equal amounts of daylight. So the equal time, the equinox, this energy is a very unique, pause, in the balance cycles, and it's known as a spurtum, but it's like a window or a portal to energies from a larger perspective that I understand are surging, and your perspective on that would be very much appreciated.
Does the surge that you're speaking of is coming from the three galaxy interaction on the edge of our solar system? Our solar system has an energetic bubble around it. That bubble is created by the sun. Inside the sun is a series of three soul groups of seventh dimensional beings that put this solar system together 58 million years ago. They assembled it planet by planet. The sun was actually brought here by an Overmind soul group that was the original explorers that found the moon. The moon is the anchor point that brought three galaxies together. And this is the culmination of a 52 million year history that has a macro history, which is the galactic perspective, the micro history, which is the inside the galactic perspective, and then the macro to micro again, it's the humans and then the subhuman and those that are in the inner Earth. And the inner Earth is our higher dimensional selves that have been living here in the quasi-existence of soul contracts above Earth and waiting for ourselves to learn various lessons so that we can return to Hollow Earth and explore the higher dimensional lessons of this galactic ascension machine of our solar system. Each planet in our system has an outer world and an inner world, and some have several dozen inner worlds, while Earth has several thousand inner cities that relate to different species on different planets and different galaxies. And that's how the soul groups have met. The soul groups set up the actual astronomy and astrology that we have here so that each soul group coming in has a star watching system that does not relate to technology. So their soul's natural imagery looking up to the skies can understand their astrology based off their solar system. At this point in time, the culmination of this 52 million year history is allowing all three soul groups from each galaxy, because you're based off of a galactic soul group now, that has allowed exchange of karma on a galactic scale to be effective on this planet. This planet is a galactic ascension machine tool. It's where you come and get your PhD in the School of Hard Knocks. And after you've been vetted, tested, done, printed, and smacked around in the School of Hard Knocks, you get to graduate. And the graduation process means you've gone through all the phases of light and dark, have accepted the four previous phases of destruction, and understand that all the soul groups that were there for a reason, to anchor this exact point in time down. Because every soul that has ever come here has decided that there is a base contract that if you incarnate here once, you want to reincarnate here in service to Earth one more time, which is this time right now, when we go from the point of the Dark Ages and the Iron Age back into the Golden Age. But you're here for one reason and one result, and to expand and understand your galactic DNA, and that all three galaxies can come together in unison and harmony and begin to express the karma that was meant from the galactic ascension machine. So the actual energy on Earth today is that of equality and balance and clearing out. For those that understand the purgative value of neutral energy, also understand the next day there is another purgative energy, and a purgative energy, purge, it's a purge. The next level is 20 days from now, 30 days from now, you'll be moving into the higher light. There will be more and more light in your system, and the more light you have, the more your original DNA from your home planet will begin to make itself relevant. I liken it to a chrysalis or a butterfly web that's around you into the original caterpillar. That is what will be going to us as we move from the neutral state to the more lightened state. Does that answer your question?
You know, I have now grokked some repeating patterns from, you know, the shows we've had and listening to your, you know, some of your previous recordings, which are just amazing. But, I'm kind of, whether it's autistic or on a certain edge of the autism spectrum, I've always been kind of quirky and geeky like that. And one thing that I see with a common pattern frames of reference is it's one of the most brilliant things on cosmogenesis I've ever heard. Because the soul, the concept of the soul, and when I say cosmogenesis, you know, the genesis of soul evolution through different spheres, you know, different octaves, different energetics, planets, systems, galaxies, and this understanding from that perspective, you know, the larger scheme of things, to me is fascinating. And believe me, I'm sure that's what, you know, listeners, you know, I got phenomenal response to you when you were on the show this last time, by the way, Andrew. I haven't been tooting your horn that much, but I'm doing it now.
Thank you.
The questions I've asked you before is kind of come around to the same point of the energetics, you know, that are going on now. You know, the spring solstice, the surge in the field of the earth is for the northern hemisphere, as you know, the days become longer from spring into summer. That's kind of self-evident. But the larger cosmic surge that's going on, there's a cycle within cycles, and that's one of the brilliant things I've learned about the Mayan calendar from people a lot smarter than myself I've interviewed on Cosmic Love over the years. And I've learned, you know, the cycles within cycles things and the harmonics, the different harmonics as far as conscious evolution and the levels and stages and the extraordinary sophistication of the evolution of consciousness of, you know, mankind, you know, and changes on the planet by cycles. And the cycles, you know, I understand now that we're kind of a midpoint between cycles. Now, you referenced this in another show, and that concept for listeners, the understanding of this midpoint, 3/22/2013, which is what, Friday, between 2009-2016, a cycle of acceleration in the field, the quantum field that we live in, you know, here on Earth, because of this surge in the source field, you might call it, surge in the quantum field, the unified field, because of the merging of these three galaxies right now and the unique situation that Earth's evolutions have right now. Could you comment on that?
Yes. These energies that are coming in also have a layer that people must be aware of. There's a sentience out there. There's thousands of species that have had history with Earth, long involved history, wars and peace and the times where Earth was a refugee planet where it was the only light of the entire universe, and when darkness was winning, they all retreated to Earth. People don't know that part of the history for a reason. That's one of the reasons that what's going on now is being kept in some secret. But as we come closer to 322, as we understand, we reach the absolute neutral, and that's when the prime creator of the three galaxies, the three into one that decided to merge galactic minds, began to exchange karma, so that it is another layer where the prime neutral creator of all three galaxies, the merged hive mind of three galaxies, comes in and does the audit here on the planet.
So
it's the only
time
that it can, it's the only time it can take place.
So the audit's like a big life review.
Well, think of it as every crystalline structure on Earth that's in the ground will begin to vibrate at the prime neutral's vibratory neutral energy. It's like a massive tuning fork. the inner Earth and the hollow Earth was a giant spherical tuning fork.
This is one thing that I've noticed in your different shows, Andrew. Those who've listened to a few of your shows realize that there's a repeating common pattern or common sense in what you're saying. You know, it becomes kind of self-evident after a while. And this is one thing that really amazes to me, that there's concepts that you reference that combined, you might say, and again, it's like space repetition for me, you know, hearing the patterns and connecting the dots. And I'm the kind of guy that will actually, when I'm listening to a lecture, I will stop it, and you know, one that's, you know, that I can do instant replay, I'll go back and forth, and I will take out the word patterns and the concepts. And of course, I'm, you know, very left brain and pictorial, so I get word pictures or pictures or images of it. And basically, it's like to get the big picture, in the, you know, the 1,000 pictures within, each one worth 10,000 words. The cosmogenesis concepts that you bring forth with soul evolution, if nothing else, what it does, it opens the concept of the order of the universe with soul evolution, the conscious evolution process itself, because as we become conscious of our conscious, there's a feedback loop, and it's for self-correction. Like E equals MC squared. C is the symbol for light, but C is also the symbol for conscience. And as you become conscious of how you are conscious, the language of consciousness, the light of consciousness, you know, the operating system for the holodeck, that what happens is it goes exponential, yep. You know, beyond the speed of light. And I mean, it's like, you know, E equals MC squared. All time and space becomes relative. I mean, it's like then capabilities of effective sensory perception or enlightened sensory perception. It's not ESP like extrasensory perception, because when you've got it, there's nothing extra about it. You know, and again, when I'm, you know, it's like anyone else. You know, when you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's like the mirror image of stupid and stupid does conscious. The conscience does. You know, it's, you know, is the cup half empty or half full? So, I you know, I'm taking off with that spring equinox shift spirit, you know, the happy spring equinox energy and having a little fun. Mm-hmm. But I do want to ask you, Andrew, along these lines, a frame of reference for what's going on with the collective consciousness now, your perspective, in terms of this shifting towards a pattern recognition in the collective consciousness with the social consciousness and social networks. The computer internet revolution has kind of got to the point of, you know, it's beginning to connect and you might say fulfill, I believe it's divine destiny, is a gateway or a portal from the internet to the inner net, you know, basically, the field, quantum field. So, quantum computing, you know, anyone that's really connects to the quantum field through any computer, you know, is doing quantum computing. And what's happening is the veil thins, this concept, this understanding of the quantum field, and really the veil is thing is a function of people are, when I say waking up, the spontaneous evolution that's going on in their DNA, and in their holodeck, you know, the unused parts of the brains that are basically waking up, they're being triggered, and there's a light, a cosmic light from the field that is, and there's the intersect of these three galaxies, and the interesting aspects of this energetic field that at this cosmic time in cosmic history, you know, this is a very unique time for a spontaneous evolution, revolution in higher consciousness, waking up, however you want to reference it. That's the type of references, by the way, I went to the article, the Spring Equinox Shift Report, that I gave the coordinates for earlier. Were those coordinates recorded? Was that section of the program recorded, by the way?
I think that part was the AJ thing cut off, but we'll put it back in here. Why don't you just go ahead and name it and say it now?
Pardon? Oh, you have the other question?
Yeah.
And your frame of reference on this process in the quantum field right now would, again, really be appreciated.
It started on December 21st. I'll paint a broad stroke so people have a visual concept as well as a vocal concept. On the 21st, I want you to just imagine our Earth from in space. You see a planet with an atmosphere and a globe around it. And imagine the upper and lower atmospheres of the hemispheres begin to light up with an energy, and that energy creates a sparking field that forces all the energy to a lower end of the South Pole. The South Pole creates this sphere roughly 30 miles above the globe. This is an invisible sphere, and it begins to amass all the sentient dream world of everybody on this planet. For the first time in probably 26,000 years that we've dreamed as a unified culture, not separated by day or light, that energy starts in the innocence of the inner child, all those children on this planet that still have will and still have soul and have not been broken down by the spiritual contracts and the screwed up incarnation rules of the Archon grids here. So that hope, that energy, that joy on the 21st was correlated into that sphere, and all the adults that were still able to think into a child's mind and enjoy this world brought energy to that. And the first ever spark of dream time since we've been dominated and controlled in this methoded manner, that spark entered inner Earth. It entered hollow Earth and began to spread to our dream time brothers and sisters who are on a different dimension existing in Earth. And they began to dream in dream time with us in the third layer. So we have a third dimension of dream time and a fifth dimension world. And that fifth dimension world sent out a spark up the North Pole, communicate with its surface people. Now, think of it like a spark trying to get a fire lit and the wood is wet. It barely lit. It's smoking and smoldering. And it's been smoldering now for the last 3 months, coming to this day of balance where finally there's smoke, where there's smoke, there's a bit of fire. And for each day we move away from the day of complete balance, the fire of dream time will grow until we reach the peak in June 21st and 22nd, where those that are the dreamers, the first members of the understand the great galactic migration that's already coming towards us, the great consciousness of three separate galaxies that are watching the pay-per-view of Earth, are now understanding that the very feet below us, the very Earth at us, is vibrating with this migratory energy. Those that are nomads will begin to understand that their homing beacons will be turned on and that we'll be done in dream time. As your dream time allies begin to coalesce and coordinate, you will find people that you never knew before will suddenly have dreams like you. A man you may drive next to every day going to work, you'll look at him and kind of have a deja vu about him, and he'll have one at you, and there'll be that unmistakable look. A nurse will walk into a bedroom at a hospital expecting to see a man with, you know, broken legs from a car accident the night before, and they'll find the man trying to tear off the cast because his legs are no longer broken because he dreamed himself into a healed state. That is what's going on with our consciousness at this point. It is stemming from our dream world. Our dream world is uniting our finite world.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm getting this from so many different perspectives, that there is a co-creation process that's going on whereby people are seeing themselves, dreaming themselves, or otherwise themselves whole. It's like when I say whole, it's just, you know, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. Only the whole can be made whole. It's a mystery, and it's a paradox. But you must step into the circle of wholeness with pure intention, as focused as intention, with love's retention for conscious ascension into this fifth dimension of grace, basically, for complete, you know, wholly integrated, you know, sense of, you know, all the above.
There's something else I'm being prompted, there's something else I'm prompted to say. Inside our planet, there's a hollow Earth, and all the other planets of all the other galaxies has some form of hollow Earth. And when hollow Earth began to dream, those people that have been in our hollow Earth, particularly the cities of Telos and the Argotha networks, are also living, coexisting dimensionally on other planets like Alcyon and the Pleiades, Andromeda, the Lyrans. They all, we, they, our ascended masters here are many of their ascended masters there. And when we began to dream unified dream time, their worlds began to dream in union also. So those that all have soul relations to those that have reached the level of hollow earth vibration also have soul relations to those of us on the surface. So it's a layer to see that the brothers and sisters of the star that are literally out parked outside of our planet are connecting to our dream time too. And for them, it's an experience they haven't had in many thousands of years.
Amazing. You know, when you talk about, and there's so many points of reference and words that I wish I had a little dictionary I could thumb through, you know, and reference. I've heard them repeatedly, and I've gone into in-depth with the understanding of some of them and others not as well as well. But the concept of the Ascended Masters, the Galactic Ascended Masters, I've got that from multiple perspectives. I mean, that over the years, you know, there's kind of repeating pattern, common sense, that I've studied the mysteries, you know, the modern-day mysteries of the field, the quantum field, and you know, conscious evolutions, ascended masters, teachings, etc. And the ascended masters thing, I just got to reference this because I actually have a longtime friend who's been beamed up multiple times, you know, like Gordon, and been, you know, that ET contact in a way, kind of a bizarre way. His story, I lived with him for several months, going in the process of moving. And his story, and I mean, it's just one of the most amazing stories of how, you know, basically, he was in one time, then I had gone into, shown his past lives and other things like this. But, you know, a lot of experiences he had that are just amazing, you know, being out there and learning in the universe. This guy's just a layman, but he's a brilliant layman. He's, you know, heating and cooling systems, and just works with his hands and keeps quiet to himself. So I think there's a lot of people like this. I know that, actually I know there are, but his story about the Ascended Masters, how one time he was up on a, he thought it was a Pleiadian starship. Of course, you're kind of in shock when you have an experience like this, so that you have kind of selective memory, but he was on that ship and there was two pictures, and he says, who are these? And he says, well, this is, they'd never seen him before. And he says, these are the Ascended Masters, Saint Germain, and Jesus. And what's interesting to him, he didn't know that, but later, years later, he was in California and saw these stump pictures of the Ascended Master teachings, and he saw the exact same two pictures of Saint Germain and Jesus were Sindelar paintings, you know, the Sindelar paintings that are quite famous of these two pictures. And of course, Jesus being the hierarch of the Piscean Age and Saint Germain being the hierarch of the Aquarian Age. So he sees these pictures. And he gets into the teachings, and that's how he found his way up into Montana, you know, where, you know, the thousands of people came from, you know, worldwide to live out here, you know, with the Elizabeth Clare Prophet. And that cycle that she went here, out here for about 10 years was one of the most amazing things, with, from people all over the world coming and doing New Age things, teachings, lectures, etc. And that's how, basically, he found, you know, the Ascended Master teachings was through these two pictures by Sindelar that were the same pictures, you know, on the bridge. I guess it was the bridge where he saw him, you know, or wherever he got beamed into, wherever he got beamed up to. But, you know, these two pictures of the Saint Germain, or Jesus and Saint Germain, you know, passing the torch from the Piscean to the Aquarian Age. Now, you know, you get experiences and perspectives like that. And I know this guy. I mean, one time this guy, when he was on the ship, that ship that time, there was a beautiful lady. He says they look kind of Venetian. They look, he says they look like us, but they were very beautiful. He said they look very beautiful. And she says one lady takes him back to his room and does this mind merge with him. He says, I'm going to give you some, share some information with you. And she starts this, you know, sharing information. They started going faster and faster and faster. And this is electronics genius type stuff. Electronics. And this guy was into electronics. He went to a special electronics school. So he gets his download and he goes back, you know, afterwards and he builds this, an accelerator chair that has crystals and dodecahedrons and all kinds of, you know, energetics and geometries and crystals and I think he had gold and silver, gold. I think it was gold. Anyway. He was telling about how he built this thing, got into it, and he no sooner fired it up than he got beamed up into a ship again. And they debriefed him on tectonic plate shifts that were coming for the Earth.
Mm-hmm. This is a true story. I know this guy. You know, I mean, he's a down-to-earth, very practical guy, but I just know him. You know, I've known him for years now. Now he's about 10 years, and, you know, he's fixed my, my plumbing and water systems and heating systems. The guy's just a very practical genius. But, you know, you know somebody like this, and you know he's not making it up. He doesn't talk to anyone else about it. I'm just one of those weird people here in the valley that he feels comfortable talking to, you know. But I lived with him for a few months, too.
It helps that you have a radio show for the last 6 years, and you can broach those subjects.
Yeah.
When I was asked to come and do the Galactic Historian here, I was ready to let the young guys do the young guys work here. I'd already known what was going to go on. I didn't know how it was going to end. I wasn't paying attention to it. I already knew what I was here to do, and it's just to start the healing after the event. You guys are the warriors. When you guys are done fighting and you guys realize you've graduated, you don't need to fight anymore, and you're all going to sign contracts with Earth, there will be no more war, and accept your galactic citizenship. Which I already accepted a long time ago, my universal citizenship, you're going to get that opportunity to realize that many of you are ascended masters and got trapped here in this long evolved war where the prime creator created the war and brought it to this galaxy, and the other two galaxies were not ready for it. Oh, no. And it's the creator's first mistake. Many of the ascended masters at the higher level, when you get an opportunity to speak to them, we'll reference the same thing. It was Creator's great mistake. But at the same time...
This was prime Creator for our galaxy, for our solar system.
For everything that's involved in this area. When three galaxies come to create two together...
Oh, that's right.
They create prime Creator that is a merging of all three sentients.
That's interesting. Creator, they can do their own kind of mind merge.
Right. They came in and they brought in war because it had been promoting war in its galaxy. It was the only one that it was in. And it came here. And the first thing it found was a seventh-dimensional galactic seed planet and said, you know what? That's the best thing that I could possibly have. It's giving me the keys to the universe here.
Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy again. We've been listening to that tape with Andrew Barthes, that interview that was from the solstice here on Wednesday the 20th, and there's a little bit of a taste of what Andrew Barthes is about. And now I've got Gordon Giannonato on the show. So while Gordon's working that out, I might as well do a little bit of a station break here. I don't usually do this on my show, but we're kind of at a break point between the two half hours, and I was going to reference the concept of Swedish pollen extract, which I have on the homepage, the website for Cosmic Love, there at the bottom, and Prescriptuses, and thought I'd bring it to your attention if you haven't gone to the website and looked at that, and the Prescriptuses, the Swedish pollen extract, to see what that is and how that would help your health, your immune system, individually or together. I thought I'd just bring that to your attention because I haven't found anything better as far as building the immune system, Prescriptuses for the colon and the Swedish pollen extract for the endocrine system. So I just thought I'd mention that. Gordon, where are you at? I don't hear that sound now. Did you take care of that? Hello, Gordon.
Hi.
What's your take on... Andrew Barthes, after now you've been on his, you and Janet were on his show here about a week ago. Now, Gordon's on a mountaintop in his signal sometime when people are downloading programs on the internet. It affects his Skype signal. He's on a mountaintop on the coast of Maine. I was talking about this at the beginning of the show. He has a blueberry farm. He's got beehives. He's a ham radio operator. He's an attorney who graduated from the top of his law school. And he's also been in contact with ETs for many years. And his stories with ET contact, I have close friends that have had numerous ET contact. So, Gordon, we got you back with us now?
Yeah, I thought I was back with you to begin with, but I don't know what happened. But now I'm on my cell phone, so that's fine.
Oh, okay. Well, good. Well, I was going to ask you, I just gave another brief introduction to you. you know, you being on the coast of Maine and ham operator, attorney, ET contacts, 700 radio talk shows worldwide, explaining the Zeta's perspective on coming Earth changes. What's your take on Andrew Bartzis after your experience with you and Janet were on his radio talk show with him here, what, about a week ago and a couple weeks ago? What's your perspective on his whole thing now from, you know, your understanding of, you know, what he's talking about in his own exquisite metaphoric way?
Well, I'm extremely impressed. He, as you can tell, gives you far more information than you ever imagined could be said. And just a couple of sentences of his might take a whole day to absorb. So a lot of what he says how are you ever going to check it? But the thing is that it's consistent with everything I've always thought. So I am very impressed. And that's a lot of information to absorb all of a sudden about what dimensions are here and what people from what places and what they're trying to do and what the whole process is and what we agreed before we came, as if this is a play and we're the actors and we're going through a script, but yet we do have a personal choice, so as we go along we can change it. So I'm very impressed, really. There's a lot of new information in there, but yet none of it's inconsistent with anything that I ever thought. So the biggest part is that, you know, in the Bible where Jesus says, where two or more are gathered together in my name, there I will be. Well, when you I believe we're co-creators, we're creators in training. And when one person has an idea, it's tough enough to materialize that into your reality. And I've done a little bit of that and I have some excellent results. So that's really exciting. So I know that's true. But when you get two or three people on the same wavelength, and let's say that you're outside at night and you're holding hands and you're all saying the exact same thing and asking for the same thing, it's like it isn't just the power of three people. It's all of a sudden it's been multiplied to, 100 times that. It's like 3,000 people. And just imagine if the whole world were to all get on the same page at the same time. We could create any dream we wanted and any reality we want. And I've always believed that. Of course, knowing my neighbors as I do, I've had very little faith that that would actually happen because I'm thinking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm thinking.
Yeah. And there's all these different soul groups on the planet. And the way Andrew explains it, how we've come from all over the galaxy, if not galaxies, these three galaxies. And, of course, that's a revelation. I've heard about there being a second galaxy, the Sagittarius galaxy. And he explains what's going on with this in the quantum field as far as, it's a vast amount of space even between the atoms of the body. And between stars in the solar system and between galaxies, it's almost too vast to comprehend.
And well, as above, so below.
Pardon?
As above, so below. Everything's
as above,
mirrored,
so below, yeah. And there's this resonance going on in the quantum field, it's the energetics of as above, so below. But he talks about, in a way, and my impression is the same as yours, is that I haven't found anything that contradicts what I understand as cosmic law. Cosmogenesis is, I've got from the Ascended Masters and Ascended Master teachings, whether you're talking about the I Am teachings or the Bridge to Freedom or Elizabeth Clare Prophet.
See, I'm like you, Chris. I studied all that myself, and I'm a great follower of all that information, and particularly the I Am teachings. I just love Saint Germain and his violet ray, the seventh ray, which each of the seven rays are a different way of finding yourself back to the Creator. And his ray is the ray of ritual, which people would think, well, ritual is really boring and repetitive, but it's really a different kind of ritual that people have ever envisioned, and that is the ritual of always being appropriate.
Yeah. The ritual of diplomacy. The seventh ray of diplomacy. Grace, Holy Spirit, love and action, and my understanding of the land, it's like the seven choans of the rays, the ma choan. There's these seven rays And there's, of course, the seven chakras, and there's these all these resonance energies going on in our own bodies. It's not surprising to me that there's resonance going on with planetary spheres and solar system spheres and galactic spheres, you know, worlds without end. And that's the larger context, you know, for this little world that we live in here, but it's all connected.
People don't realize that our reality is actually created by all 7 billion people on Earth with their dreams and their thoughts and their feelings. And,
yeah.
And you know, sometimes when Janet says, well, I wish things were, that's my wife, if she says, I wish things were a certain way, I said, well, if you had your own planet, of course, but, you know, you've got 7 billion other people that all have their own ideas, they're co-creating. Luckily, most people don't know how to do any damage with that because they don't understand that concept. So as selfish or as evil as they might be, they're not able to do as much bad. But a few good people working together with the same dream and the same idea can actually materialize it. So you can imagine if we could get the whole planet to harmonize on the same note, we could go anywhere to any level at any time, do anything we want. The powers of creation are just endless. And, you know, but people have to have faith in that and an emotional certainty that we can do that. And you have to realize that within your physical body, you have all these other dimensions. So when somebody says seventh dimension, well, you have an eternal soul in you, and it's got all the dimensions, however many there are. And you're walking around with that. You're only conscious mostly on this third dimension. And even that's, you know, extraterrestrials look at humans like a bomb went off because they come in contact with a human, and the subconscious says, well, I know love hurts, so how are you going to hurt me? The conscious says, you can't just come in and do this. This is against the law. I'm sure it's against the law. If I get a chance, I'm going to report you. And then the soul level of a person says, well, I know you're my brothers and sisters. How can I help you? So just dealing with Earth humans is like a whole soap opera all by itself to try and get through to people and give them a message that they can consciously use in a constructive way. But if we can do that, we can do anything.
Yeah, the co-creation energies that Andrew talks about, you know, that this time right now, but he doesn't use the term thinning of the veil. He uses a lot of other terms that are kind of like a fresh way of understanding that, yes, we have free will, but we're here with soul contracts. And most of us understand the free will thing, you know, do what you want when you want. But the soul contract thing is that we came here with agreements, and there is everything is in divine order as far as all these different soul groups here having an earthly experience. And while humans are thinking that, they're having, you know, we're a lot of humans think, you know, here we are in embodiment, and we're having a human experience when they're really spiritual beings from throughout galaxy that have incarnated here with this flesh skin, this flesh body, you know, to have a spiritual experience.
Right. Well, even if you don't think you're having a spiritual experience, you are, because everything counts towards your soul growth, you know, and everything you do creates a distortion. And really, that's one of the laws of this dimension and having a physical planet, is everything you do creates a distortion, and you're not free to leave until you balance all your distortions. So that's been like a secret path that people gradually wake up to and realize, well, I should really try to be a better person every day in every way. And selfish people don't think that way. They think, well, nobody's ever going to know what I did that was so bad. So if I keep it secret, then nobody will ever know. And I can keep on just doing this stuff because I can get away with it. And they don't understand that everything is recorded throughout all the worlds, always, permanently. And so you have what's called the Akashic Record. And you're in, you know, all that is known. So it's a limited point of view of a person that's selfish, because everybody makes mistakes. None of us are perfect. But an unselfish person says, well, how can I avoid doing that? Can I learn from what I did wrong? Can I be better tomorrow? Can I be better today? Can I be better now? So You know, this is a process that people have to go through. But once you realize that we can not only have it any way we want it, but we can work together and we can have all the beautiful things we always thought we should have, like trust and love and sharing, and yet be individual, because each soul has a unique contribution to make to the entire universe that nobody else can duplicate. Nobody has your history of your experience, your sense of humor, your interest, your way of putting things. So there's things that you can contribute that no one else can, ever. No matter how long the universe lives, no matter how many souls are born, there's something unique. And so therefore, everything about you is valuable. And that's why you've got to look at the world around you, you know, with just total unconditional love and accept everything else, you know.
Well, one thing I've learned about from the Ascended Master teachings is balancing karma or balancing, you know, disruptions or any kind of corruption in you know, you might say the prime directive, the do no harm. It's this ongoing process, you know, worlds without end, you know, eternal progression of the soul is a process of you know, in a sense, balancing karma, and it's so much of it. It's not so much the good humans would do or that we would do. So often, it's just the momentum of doing things incorrectly that has its own momentum. And you know, the record of soul mistakes and balancing that karma is always, again, unconditional love. The Holy Spirit of love in action, the fulfillment of love in all of its different manifestations, and that's one thing I've, you know, very consistent with Andrew. He references this process, you know, worlds without end, this eternal progression of souls and the soul evolutions.
Right. He says we're about to graduate, and I think we've all hoped that and thought that ourselves, that a class is about to graduate from planet Earth. And he's saying that the moon is a critical point in this, because that's where we go for our final passport to the cosmos. In other words, once you graduate, you go there and you balance all your accounts, you settle everything, and then you're free to move on to any direction that you want. You could choose to become the soul for a star, imagine, or be reborn on the Earth in a new race and build a fleet of spaceships and travel the universe, or you could decide to become an ascended master, or you know, and those are only three choices, believe me, because it's an unlimited amount of choices. But at each level, as you grow, there's more and more potential for you to do more and more things. And so it's really a wonderful world out there, and nobody should be afraid of the future or what could happen, because actually we can create the most beautiful world that anyone has ever hoped for.
Man, there's so many beautiful metaphors that Andrew goes into, and one of the things that just really fascinates me is that this process of ascension, and how, you know, how is it that we are to ascend at this time? And of course, my understanding, as far as cosmic law, when he says we, he's saying that at most of us, and when I say most of us, is that he does explain how there is a raising up, an awakening, an acceleration going on the planet where we are coming into a unity consciousness with this universal co-creation energy that's spiraling into the physical. And when he talks about we're dreaming, we're stepping through the veil. Our dream world is uniting our finite world, is the words that he used. And it's just exactly what the Ascended Masters have said about that, you know, basically through their dictations, Elizabeth Kerr Prophet and other messengers, that they're stepping through the veil to lay the foundation for a golden age. And we're kind of dreaming this, the collective dreams of humanity. It's starting to manifest. I mean, the things that are coming out with free energy technologies and breakthrough communications technology and capabilities for individuals or groups of people to come into heart coherence, you know, as a frequency of holy compassion. These breakthrough things that are coming out, and a lot of people still don't even know about them, but it's coming out in the collective consciousness of humanity, and the potential for a golden age here on Earth, and in dreaming this into reality right now, the way it's happening, and it's in our finite world, how these manifestations of the knowledge of soul evolution, you know, for this to be able to go out over the internet, and for Gordon, for you and I to be able to talk and share Andrew's works and Andrew's.
It's wonderful, but it's really just a pale approximation of what you can do with your heart and your mind and telepathy and feeling, and just the way
That's right. A parent
looks at a child and sends them love. You can send love anywhere you want in the world, and you can make contact with other people. This technology is marvelous, and we're able to do things that we never actually even hoped we could do. We're doing it, and it is great. And I thank you for being on this, putting me on the show, and I thank BBS for doing a wonderful job too, and I really appreciate it. But this is just to show us. This is like approaching. It's like a pale shadow of what you can achieve on your own as a soul if you know that you can do it. And I'm saying you should know that you can do it.
Wow, Gordon, I'm so grateful that you were able to come on and take us here to the end of the show. There is more information on Andrew and far more information than you...
He has his own show on Wolf Spirit Radio, and he has his own shows on Revolution Radio, and all the shows on Revolution Radio are all just posted instantly to YouTube within 24 hours, so you can actually listen to them on YouTube quite a bit. And also on Wolf Spirit Radio, it's posted as MP3s, and then you've got your archives, so... you know, but I think that you know, we've come together like as a team to bring this out, and it's a beautiful thing, and I think people should really consider that we can make this future that we've always hoped for. It's here. It's slanted for success. Nancy Leader of Zeta Talk said it was 35% unselfish on the Earth, and that by itself is slanting it to success. But Andrew was saying that because of walk-ins, people who have become discouraged, and the Pleiadians have said, "We'll take you on board the ships and heal you. Do you mind if we send our shock troops in to take over your bodies?" And the people have said, "No, go ahead." Andrew says there's 82% unselfish on Earth now. So that's a momentum that can't be stopped. This is going to happen. This is happening right now. And he gave, even in the part you just played in the first part of the show, he gave a calendar of the next 30 days. There's going to be huge changes.
Huge changes. And with that, we're going to have to end the show. We have to do a wrap. We're right at the end of it, and I want to thank everyone for listening. Gordon, thanks for being on the show. I look forward to being back and forth with you. And for everyone, until the next show, happy trails. God bless you all. Bye-bye for now. Thanks, Gordon.